Anyway, that's where we're at. All right, what did I have for something? I had some other rant going on about something for the opening. But now I don't know. I don't know what I have to rant about.
I don't know, man.
I was hoping you knew.
No, I don't. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm going to need you to ramp up your enthusiasm like now. No, that's not true. Fake the enthusiasm.
I'm super enthusiastic.
Aufgeregt? That's what it is in German.
That's enthusiasm?
Aufgeregt.
Same word, though. Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay, even when you say it, doesn't sound enthusiastic.
Aufgeregt! That's not even how you pronounce it.
That's better.
Hello and welcome to episode 512 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What's going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver? I ask you every week. I'm hoping for a better answer. It's the definition of insanity. I ask to do the same task over and over again, hoping for a different result. But now I'm hoping it's going to be good times.
Okay. In the five. People. Surprisingly, I mean, not as many as probably last year, but people are decorating for Halloween, so that's exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're seeing some decorations go up in our community, which is kind of nice to see. So I think there will be a Halloween. I don't know yet if people are sure what it's going to look like. I'm not sure how much door-to-door trick-or-treating there will be, or if people are just going to kind of leave bowls of candy out in a sort of Royal Rumble, free-for-all fashion, but...
Right, but that kind of defeats the purpose, too, because, like, then like, one kid's playing around in it, and then the next kid's touching it. Like, that's sort of what's the difference. Although, well, I don't see a problem there.
Well, they're all in wrappers, so as long as you kind of wash your hands when you're done, don't stick your hands in your mouth and just...
No, the kids are good about that, yeah.
Yeah.
My kids prefer their fingers to the candy.
Right. So, So anyway, so that's exciting. And the Halloween thing is I think going to be a go. So yeah.
Okay. Is there going to be fireworks? What's going to happen? What usually happens? I mean, you guys usually would do the trick or treating, but you've got to be at the end of that. Like Jack probably.
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure about Sarah or not. Maybe she will. I guess it's because nobody's sure what it's actually going to look like yet, but I think Sarah would probably still do it, like grade 8, maybe one more year. I don't know. Some kids do, some kids don't at that age. I think she probably would still like to do it. I guess it depends on who of our friends will be doing it. It's on a Saturday this year, I believe.
Right.
So that helps because kids will want to be out doing something. And if there's a fun event, I think they'll both be game.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. That's all. Because again, it's weather-wise, nothing exciting. It's getting cold. And that's it. All I can say is it's getting cold now. It feels cold. The heat is on in our house.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I feel the same. We have not had a fire inside yet, though.
Okay, that's good, right?
Jeez, should we start again? This is the most boring stuff. Oh, no.
You know, it's all relative. So if you start boring, then it means like we're going to have a big finish.
You think so?
Or when we start talking about photography, you know, all our listeners are just going to perk up and they're going to be like, yes, this is what we came for.
Okay, so 40 more minutes on what kind of firewood I use.
And then tell us about some project in your basement.
I have glue on my hands right now.
Okay, no, I didn't really want to hear.
From down there.
Yeah.
Hey, of course you do. Of course you do. I'm making a chest of drawers for my son.
Okay. Is this the same thing as a dresser?
Yeah, I don't know what to call it. Dresser, chest of drawers, bureau, commode. Yeah. Keine Ahnung. Kommode mit Schubladen. Weiß nicht. All right? I really don't know.
So where you put like your underwear?
Well, he'll put his underwear, but yeah.
See, already the podcast is better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I got it all put together. The drawers built. and I'm just painting it. And then that's what I was doing, painting it and decking it out, putting a little trim on the sides.
Which what, pretty, what color are you painting good. It?
I painted it like a sort of a darker blue, not quite navy blue, but like a nice, like a, I wanted it to kind of be a fun color without being too bright.
Gotcha.
So it's, I think it's called Enzian blue or something like that.
Okay.
I honestly, I probably would have gone a little bit darker, like towards black, but it's fine. It's fine. So it's going to be blue and then the top's going to be like a wood color, like this, like a light stain.
Gotcha.
Two-tone it. That's my plan. I hope that works out. It should work out just fine with the stain.
Nice.
Turns out making drawers a lot more involved than you think.
Well, I'm not involved at all, so it's already sure. A lot more involved than I think, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for sure, because you want to do a quarter-inch rabbet in the bottom because you're using quarter-inch plywood for the bottoms, and I used three-quarter-inch plywood for the sides, so these are like really strong. You could hit this dresser with your car, and it would not. Your car would be totaled.
Oh no!
Yeah, don't do it. I'm not suggesting anybody do it because how are you going to get? Anyways, the point is, when you got to cut, rabbets on three sides and then leave the backside a little bit higher so that you can just screw it down. So you basically make it four sides with the rabbet, slide it in, and then screw it to the back piece. That takes a lot longer than you think. Plus, you got to round over all the edges on the top because you don't want your kid getting splinters.
Right. Yeah. Splinters are a big problem.
Yeah. So there's a lot involved once you get it all together, but they look good. And so when I'm done, I'll hopefully be done in a couple of days. But it was so exciting because a couple of days ago, the plywood showed up. I got the plywood dropped off. And like that's my life now. I'm excited when plywood's dropped off in my house.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a bunch more. I got a couple more big sheets. So I'll figure out what to make next. Very excited. Once I get this done,
I still have more things to do. I have something interesting that it might be a topic worthy of conversation for a minute here. You decide. And this relates to a videographer who doesn't live in Canada anymore. But again, I see it as for anyone out there who might be a photographer with some video skills, a giant opportunity. Okay, you ready? So hockey. So hockey is now like in full swing. We started in September. We're not like we're still in the midst of trials. Like Jack, I don't know if I told you this or not. Jack decided to play rep this year. He's always played.
Good for him.
He's always played house and kind of been like the house superstar. And so he decided.
Yeah,
I didn't
like that. I'll be honest with you. I kind of kept it. I played it a little. I think I played it close to the vest with you. I was not happy about it.
I liked it because it was kind of just fun. Like hockey is one of those sports that gets taken incredibly serious in Canada. It is our sport, and so for those Canadians listening, they know that. Soccer, I guess, in Germany, it's the sport, and so people just ramp up their intensity. So
yeah, but you don't have to be that dad though. Like you can rise above it.
You can, but everybody else is taking it very seriously. And so I like the fact that, you know, it's all just for enjoyment. At the end of the day, I just want the kid to play it in men's league so that it, you know, he keeps it a consistent part of his life. Cause I think hockey's a great social sport. And in Canada, you can play it until you're in your 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to sour it from all the crazy intensity that goes on. So especially at a younger age. So I'm glad that we've not played rep, and this would be the first year, and this is Pee-wee, so it gets like now it's 2 year groups of kids. That's how it works in BC. In Ontario, I grew up and you always played with your own age because there are so many more kids playing hockey. In BC, mm-hmm. the way it works is you play, you know, with a 2 year group. So this year he's a first year, meaning that, you know, half the kids are a year older. And it's also, you know, the difference between like
played Adam last year.
Yeah. So he was a second year Adam. Yeah.
I went and saw a game.
That was two years ago. That would have been first year Adam for him. Yeah.
Wow. They were really good for Adam.
And that was House.
Really good for Adam House. I thought he was in Pee Wee 2 years ago.
No. So now he's in Pee Wee. So he's a first year Pee Wee. And again, just you see the growth start, right? Because now you got a lot of kids 12 going on 13 that have hit their adolescent growth spurt. So you see those second year, some of them are giants, right? Like some of them are 160 pounds, 5 foot seven, 5 foot eight. I've seen some 6 footers. So, I mean, it's a huge step up in terms of not only the skating and the skills, but just the size of some of the kids. And then you've got other kids, some
is
first
it contact,
year.
Contact though?
No, it's not contact, but still just the physical strength of some of the kids. No, not until bantam. So peewee's still non-contact. Hitting starts in bantam.
Oh no.
So anyway, I think it's good. And so we've been going through all this, but back to my original point of this is not the rep side of it. It's just that right now no parents are allowed in the rink. So
right.
You are seeing a huge demand now for how are we going to get these games? How are we going to be able to watch these games? And so for somebody to be able to come in, and I mean, times all the house games, like nobody can watch anything. So now all of a sudden you've gone from, there's probably a few kind of videographer streaming services available for the higher end elite level teams that were kind of, for teams that travel a lot, were going on the road with teams, junior teams, and sort of providing a streaming service that people could subscribe to back at home when, parents can't do all the travel. So this has been something that has existed, except for now, every house game, every competitive game at every age group now, suddenly people are not allowed in the building and everyone wants to see their kids play and gameplay starting. Mm-hmm. And there's none of this available because it's like, all right, 20 people from each team are allowed in the building. Now this is 20 people, including the coach and the kids. So you're left with one or two adults, maybe I think it's usually just the assistant coach and maybe a safety person from each team allowed in. So now everybody wants to see their kids. So if for anybody who has the ability to do this, to get in there and provide a streaming setup, this is a business model, at least for the next year, where somebody could just clean up doing this sort of thing. So just throwing it out
there. The rinks need to hire somebody, I think. Well,
but even the rinks, like I'm sure they're trying to do it, but times, like hockey is running from, like we're having practices at 6 a.m. and then there's hockey till 9 at night. Like, and some teams even would like their practices streamed because parents can't watch anything. So how are you going to meet that demand, right?
That's a good question. I think that's a huge business opportunity, and I kind of wish I was in Canada. No, I don't. That sounds terrible. But
just to even, do it for three or four teams, like, hey, I'm going to show up at the rink after 5 o'clock and I'm going to stream I'm going to make a deal with the association, whatever association that might be for hockey. And I'm going to provide streaming content on this rink, or, like you could have two people and like on these two rinks from 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock. And again, it's just going to be, and I don't even know, like I've been just kind of doing preliminary research on what would be required in order to do this, because a lot of the rinks, Wi-Fi is not going to be fast enough. I don't know if you've done any web streaming and how much, bandwidth you're going to need in order to get video through, and what equipment, like, would you just do this? Like nowadays, would people just do it on their iPhone 11 or whatever and just put it on a tripod and then have their data, just get a crazy unlimited data plan? Would that data be fast enough to stream HD video so that at least if people are watching on their cell phones, that it would be adequate?
At the bare minimum, you would get something. Depends how fancy you want to get. I would think you'd want to do it with like a DSLR and a laptop and then stream that, because then now we're talking about an excellent picture.
But how are you going to get the data to make that go?
Yeah, that's the thing as well. You then have to, tether it with your phone and the Bluetooth thing. And then that is going to be a massive choke point. You definitely would want something wired at the rink, which I'm guessing they're not,
Yeah, that's not going to be...
Six rinks probably not prepped for.
No. And that's where it gets tricky. And I was reading about different systems where you can subscribe to a system where it combines, it does like a link. So you might take like six cell phone signals and it sort of weaves them together to improve.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a much steadier, faster signal for doing this sort of thing. So you could
that's
be
the Dark Knight, right? That's what they did.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't remember
the Batman movie.
Yeah, I know the Batman movie, but I don't remember. Yeah, but basically, so, like a share link system where you can plug it in and it basically weaves these cell phone signals and it does it all for you, but just creates a super signal that then you can stream. That like what you're saying, I mean, all that equipment's great if you can get that signal to everybody in a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I just thought it's super interesting, and it's a massive opportunity for photographers looking for work as videographers.
Now, yeah, I mean, depends what happens after. I don't want to rain on your parade here. But it's gonna I'm also hoping this just ends.
But let's say you're good. I'm thinking people who are seasonal workers, like, you know, the wedding photographer, videographers of the world, who right now there's no weddings going on. Well, guess what? You now have all that equipment, and now you might need some additional equipment to make the live stream portion of it work. But I'm guessing you're going to make that money back on whatever the equipment costs are or subscription fees you need to set up are in about a week. So I think,
yeah. Well, considering that when your brother-in-law played for the Vernon Lakers at the time, and his parents who lived in Richmond, they would drive up to see most of his games. Like, they would drive up all the time, like the five and a half hours each way. You know, like, I'd come back that night, like leave after the game and get back at like 2 a.m. and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I remember one time way back when, this would have been like 1992 or 3 or something like that. They couldn't go. It was a playoff game. They couldn't go. And there was no internet. There was no option. But they wanted to know how the game was going. So they had your in-laws. It's confusing to our listeners, but your wife's parents, who live up in that area, phone them, like they would phone them long distance, and they would put the phone next to the radio and let it broadcast for 2.5 hours a long distance call. And this would have been like $100-$150 call.
Jeez.
But on their end back in Richmond, they had it wired because they owned a music store. They had the phone wired up to speakers so it would broadcast in the house, and they could listen to the play by play for about $150 one
time. Nice. Yeah, that's a sweet deal. Oh, just to give you an idea for cost, what some of these streaming services are charging, because we have some friends whose kids are older and already have a streaming system set up. So this is a professional company that's doing their games and charging them per game. The cost per game for one person to stream this content is over $10 a game. So if you have, you know, 18 kids on your team,
it's $10 just to watch the game.
$10 to watch per game. Not per month, per game. So $10.
No, I thought that was still low, actually. When you start doing the math, I'm going backwards and trying to figure out, okay, what would you pay like somebody to go out? What would it cost for some, like you, to go out and stream a game? Take your equipment down there and stream a game. You're going to charge $300?
Well, no, but what you're gonna make on that is probably, like, what you have to understand is it's not just the 20 parents now that are watching on each team. So let's say you're gonna get probably at least 40 people related to the direct kids on the ice. Now you're gonna add another, I'm gonna say, 30 people outside of that, grandparents, other people who just don't have access to their game that wouldn't normally come to the rink, but are like, hey, every grandma and grandpa is like, now we can watch our kid on the phone or on the iPad or whatever. So so times, like, again, this seems like a massive opportunity in terms of just money on one game, right? For you're not talking about $300 anymore, right? You're talking about probably, I'm guessing, about $1,000 revenue per game. And that's a 1 hour slot, maybe 1 hour and 10.
Mm-hmm. That sounds high to me. What's maybe for the first couple times, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the novelty would wear off with the grandparents, et cetera, but hey, that's why I'm not driving a Ferrari.
But that's also the difference between rec and the competitive levels. I don't think it does wear off. Yeah, I really don't. Yeah, maybe. People want to watch the games, and you're talking 50 games, you know, might even be more depending on the team and what they play. So yeah, I just think it's something that I wish was set up, and I'd happily pay the $10 to watch the games this way. So
I think you'd be better off getting qualified to be a referee. And then you get paid to be there and see the game.
There you go.
That's the move. The non-photography hack to that. Now, if you do need streaming equipment, they will sell it on Amazon.
I'm hoping that I can just be the video guy, and then I'll just go in and okay. I'll get to watch the games while I, you know, do the broadcast for everyone else. So I volunteered, but I don't know how that will go or anything. But I would like to be that guy.
Okay, well, we can figure something out like that. I'm going to talk to Marquard and see what because he does that kind of stuff. But I'm not sure about mobile. But just saying, anything you need, you can get it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Buy your Halloween costumes and your Christmas pajamas.
And your streaming, your video streaming equipment.
Yeah. The really expensive kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that. I upgraded my computer. Got the extra RAM, the extra memory on Amazon.
Okay. And it already came?
Oh, yeah. Showed up at the door. No problem.
Just click it in. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's. It all seems very fast.
Yeah.
So not much to tell you about the RAM department, except for it works. So I'm running at 40 gig of RAM now.
Okay.
I remember.
How much came included with it? I don't really remember.
It came with 8.
Okay. I think I did the same. Yeah. Four slots, right?
Four slots. Yeah. 4 and a 4. And so I just added a couple of 16s.
Mm-hmm.
Did I? Yeah. That's what I did. A couple of 16s. That makes 40. Good math.
Yeah, because it was a 2-pack from Amazon of like 2 16s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I did too, yeah. And it was reasonably inexpensive.
Yeah, a little bit like 100 and something bucks, something like that.
Sure.
So there you go. Anyways, that was on Amazon. All right. Wow, what's going on? We got way into that already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My eBay, it's not called Craigslist, is not called Craigslist here. It's like a version of eBay. It's called eBay Kleinanzeigen, which is like this, like it's eBay, but like local.
Okay.
So it's basically like a eBay version of Craigslist for all that you care. But I've bought a couple of things on Craigslist in Vancouver, but I've never sold anything on that service before. It's not that fun.
Okay.
Have you, I find it's like it kind of requires a little more time than I'd care for.
Okay.
No, not just like dealing with people. Oh, okay. Well, I can come by on Tuesday. I'm like, okay, what about, I can't come by Tuesday now. I'll be by Wednesday. Look, it's 10 bucks for a tricycle. I don't know what to tell you. Like I'm thinking about just leaving it on the front lawn. And if you want it, just leave 10 bucks. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. We've done that.
That's not a bad move.
Yeah, we've done that and just like, yeah, in the mailbox. And, you know, people have always paid. It's not like people have just walked off with it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where we might end up going, or someone will show up and have like a ton of questions. And I was like, yeah, this bike was 250 euros new and I'm going to need 20 bucks from you. So yeah, it's not in mint condition.
Right. Yeah. And I think that question thing is, you're 100% right, is typical. Like I've sold lots of stuff on Craigslist and it's a lot of times, it's a lot of back and forth questions. And oftentimes I just give up and I'm just like, yeah, you're too much work to sell this $20 item.
Yeah.
To. Yeah.
I would rather take it apart with a hammer and send you a picture of it in pieces and go, there you go.
Well, and my move is often if it's not worth, let's say, 50 bucks, like that's kind of my bar, then I either give it away or get rid of it. Or like free is also like a favorite of mine, because on Craigslist, the free site, like you can almost anything within like 20 minutes, you've got, you know, 10. I'm kidding you not, like my old barbecue, I bought a new barbecue and it was the barbecue still worked and everything. It was like 7 years old and it was just beaten to crap, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a brand name. It was a Weber barbecue and I had bought the new version and blah, blah, blah. Still worked. I put that on the free site. And again, I cleaned it up a little bit, but this thing is 7 years of like use and regular use. And I could not believe the number of people that were like, I will be at your door in 30 minutes if you will. Like, so I had to go through and I basically was like, all right, well, this was the first guy to respond. So I kind of did it the fair way. And the guy right. was like, don't leave it outside. Someone else is going to come take it. And I was like, wow, like people are anxious to get what I would have probably like, again, it worked fine, but the grates were in need of replace. Like just everything was just so
there's a reason up. I bought a new one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, and I even said there, I'm like, replaced it with a new one, but no, clearly.
Right.
And to piecemeal and get the new part. I mean, all of it, I'm amazed. So my move is if it's not worth $50, then I am just either giving it away for free or it's something that I'm getting rid of entirely.
That's what we're going to end up doing here is I'm going to give it, I want to give some of the stuff away for free. Cause in the end I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go back and forth on this for 10. Part of my deal was it's all a bunch of my kids' old stuff that we got that I don't really care about the money, but you know, they should sell it and keep the money and then buy something that they would like with it. Like that's kind of the point.
Right.
I don't want to just here's some money that, well, I'll hand you some cash. Let's kind of figure out how this whole economy thing works.
Right. Yeah.
But they're getting the lesson they don't need right now. Of people, the guy who came by, the couple came by with their 2-year-old or 1-year-old or however the kid, I don't know how old the kid was, and he bought our tricycle. Really, it's right there in the name what it is. Like it's very simple. We put the pictures up on the web, and you know, but it was like the fifth one he'd seen that day. Like they were tricycle shopping, and I was like, but he wanted that one. He figured this was probably the best one out of all the five, and I was like, yeah, okay. It's like, it's $10, euros. What's the worst? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
So, anyway, there you go. That's it. Oh, so we'll see how this all goes. I got a bunch more stuff to get rid of. I was hoping to get rid of the winter tires. I have an extra set of winter tires that we can't use.
Okay.
And those got to go on in the next week or so. So I was kind of hoping this was the right season for it. So far, no takers. So I'll send them to you. You can
yeah,
have them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, keep me updated on whether or not all right. there's some takers.
I will remind you that our monthly challenge for October is Surprise Me, and we'll hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, do both of those things, and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll deal with that. Not next week, the week after, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. All right, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just my photo challenge.
Yeah, it's the same here. I can tell whenever you don't put anything in the bin, which is now 41 weeks in a row, like the Lou Gehrig of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Cal Ripken now, I guess probably, he broke the record a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like time has any meaning. So there's that. All right. Yeah, I shot nothing interesting. I just had nothing going on this week.
Yeah, again, I was going to say, if I could get in the hockey rink, I probably would take some photos, but this is what happens. Baseball ends, hockey turns over. Usually my photography is related to what my kids are doing and I'm not allowed in the rink. And it's not exactly, we're not spending a lot of time at the park these days, just outside or right. weather-wise. I it's not an excuse. It's just the reality of like, I haven't had anything photo worthy to take in the last little while.
Yeah. Yeah. The same. All right. Photo challenge then this week. I said, let's get the fog machine out. Cause I figured, you know, Halloween, I haven't used my fog machine in quite some time. I can't remember. The last time was probably about five, six months ago, I guess, when I took the Freddie Mercury type picture of my son. I used the fog machine for that, but it like for how cool it is, I don't break it out enough.
Okay. But it's also like, I don't know, like I don't want to usually do it in the house because yeah. it makes for fog everywhere and it takes
it's right there in the name. Yeah.
yeah. It takes a while for it to dissipate. And anyway, so, and my wife is usually, if she's home, she's quick to say, you're not doing that in the house, right?
Like that's that, you married your mom?
Yeah, that's usually, she's like, you're not doing it in the house, right?
Right.
So that usually means take it outside, buddy. And yeah, and then the weather has to cooperate. And then, lighting conditions. So I agree with her in that I don't like doing it in the house either. So so I kind of gave her a little bit of the bad rap there. But really, I don't like doing it in the house. So The right circumstances need to present themselves for me to use it.
Back before the world changed, did you, when you took your team, like your hockey photos, did you ever bring that to the rink?
I offered, and I was told that I'm not allowed to bring that because of the, no, because they're worried that it's going to set off the rink's smoke alarm.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, again, easy to say. I tell them it's, but it set off my smoke alarm before.
Yeah, a little bit different, but okay. But what do they do at Canucks games? They have the what have you?
Yeah, I don't know what it,
they have smoke.
Yeah, I feel like their ceilings are a lot higher in the stadiums than they are at our local ice rink. And I don't know. I my concern would just be, what if I set off the alarm? But no, I offered, and I was told I was not allowed to bring that sort of device. I thought it would be super.
Asked.
I thought it would be super cool, like if you set it off right
really
near
cool.
the where the gate opens, so that they come on, like come through the smoke. Yeah, be pretty cool.
Oh, I meant for photos, but you meant for games.
No, I meant for photos, but like that's the photo I envision, like as they come through there, and you see the smoke in behind them, like as they jump onto the ice. Yeah.
All right. Well, to me, it's like finding out if your kid's allergic to peanuts. There's no way to know. You just got to dive in and do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't done the smoke detectors at the smoke alarms at the rink yet, but my kids are not allergic to peanuts.
Okay. That's good.
So one out of two so far.
Yeah.
All right. So fog machine. Let's have a look at yours. So you're telling me this is outside. That makes a little more sense now that I'm seeing the fence in behind you.
The fence and like the little bit of light breaking through the trees. Cause I sort of set it up in my backyard where I had trees. Cause I was kind of thinking I'm not going to set up where I wanted to do it. I'm not going to set up the black background. So I kind of was like, well, right. I can knock the ambient down. I'll get a little bit of light coming through the trees. No big deal. I'll get a little bit of fence. No big deal. And the smoke, for the most part, is going to fill in my background anyways, which is what I wanted the background to be. So I basically just created some separation between myself and the fence and put these.
How do you know Pitbull?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Mr. Worldwide.
This is very Pitbull-esque. Yeah. But I just set the smoke machine up and two lights on light stands, both with blue gels on them, one lighter and one darker, and basically just kind of use the lights to light the smoke and also to give me a little bit of light from the back as well, a little bit of backlight. And that's it. And then, a big softbox to be my key light in the front. So camera right. So you can see the big softbox reflection in my glasses.
With the grid, I think, too.
No grid. No.
No grid? It looked like it in the glasses. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'll get my eyes checked.
Sure. So yeah. So basically a three light setup. And then my wife agreed to be the volunteer camera person because nobody was interested in participating in my smoke photo this week. I had to take this one for the team and be the model.
That is crazy. I was thinking I was going to have to do the same thing. I'll be honest with you. But how is it? Could you imagine when you were a kid, when you were 11 and your dad had a fog machine and he's like, yeah, let's go outside and fog it up. And you're like, nah. Like you'd be fogging everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody wanted to play my game, especially not my wife, who is already anti-fog machine. She's like, I'll be the cameraman. And I said, all right, done. And I knew what I wanted anyways, because I thought, okay, I know what I'm going to wear. I'm going to, you know, keep it black. I'm going to put blue. Like I had a vision of what I wanted. I would have been happier doing my son or my daughter in something, but this was fine. So I did like how the light kind of hit that sort of side of each cheek just a little bit and just creates it creates kind of a cool effect on the jaw on each side and got just a hint on each side to not be overpowering but to give a little bit more shape to the face. So yeah, I think it turned out pretty good. I don't usually shoot from below like this, but in my mind, I wanted the darkness of the background kind of looking from down to up. So I had the background more in mind when I chose that angle to shoot. So yeah, all in all, like I think it worked out well. And the smoke certainly adds something to the photo for sure. Should have showed one without the smoke and you would have seen how uninteresting it was.
It you're not wrong. I mean, like in every situation where I've shot with a smoke machine, we keep calling it smoke machine. I think it's really a fog machine technically.
Yeah, it's not smoke.
You know what I'm talking? Yeah, it's not smoke machine. You're definitely a smoke show. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just generally what I do is much. I'm guessing like you do is I get set up first with the lights and take a couple of test shots and then I add the smoke.
Right.
And so you take those, and so sometimes, when we skip ahead to mine there, like the photo would it'd be okay. It's just basically a simple background, nothing to write home about, but nothing wrong with it. But the smoke just makes everything much, much better.
Correct.
It's essentially it's like cinnamon for photography.
Sure. Yeah.
That's how it's often described. So you had two lights in behind with blue CTBs.
Yeah.
And then a CTO on the main or just
no,
just,
no, just bare. Just bare. Yeah. It's too
fine because I don't have a big balancing
enough,
for it.
Yeah, and I don't have a big enough gel for the because I use the studio strobe with the giant softbox, right. So I don't have a gel for that. But I just find that if you go blue and then just keep that one, it ends up working out pretty well.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a shot of my daughter. Again, I thought I was going to have to take mine, but my own, because my son was just like, there's no way, Dad. There's absolutely no way. And so my daughter reluctantly agreed. And so I decided, all right, well, I'm going to make her look like Marlena Dietrich or something like that, you know, except for the dude version with my pea coat and the hat.
Which and I feel like we've seen this photo of you before.
Something similar, I would think.
Yeah. Pico definitely and the Indiana Jones hat multiple times. This is a
I think with this the
callback.
Machine,
this is a callback photo.
I think it might be. I maybe one time with this combo with me, but I definitely didn't want to repeat it with myself. So I was at a loss. Like, what was I going to do? And so I wanted to kind of give her that look of the down on the docks investigating some sort of a theft.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
She might be Kaiser Soze, is what I'm saying.
Smuggling ring, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she is. No one knows she's Kaiser Soze. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, it looks good. I definitely so you've got two in there, one with just a little bit of smoke, which I don't like as
much. It's actually a fair bit of smoke in the little smoke one. This one's even more, obviously, but like I shot this in the basement room and where I shoot most of my studio stuff. That's just a white background in behind that I had up like a week ago and have not had time to take down. And so that great, we'll just use that. There's actually a fair bit of smoke in the black and white one, except it for some reason, just because of the hard light. I lit this with hard light. Both there's two lights here, one in right in behind her, basically on the floor aiming up, that's lighting up the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then one camera right and down low, and they're both just bare flashes.
Okay.
Which turns out, I guess if you hammer a hard light from the front, it kind of you end up losing some of the specular bit of the smoke.
Gotcha.
And so the last one is one where like if you were in the room at the time, you could not see my daughter. Like getting focus was an issue.
Okay.
Like getting autofocus was an issue. My son just he wanted to run the smoke machine, so he just hammered it.
Yeah.
And this is one where, like I said, yeah, get some right in front. And so there's a ton of smoke in between her and the camera, yet with that lighting, it shows up like this.
Okay.
So it looks, and I was kind of surprised how it ended up looking, because it looks like I CTO'd the one and didn't the other, but nope, they are both bare flashes, and this just how the colors kind of came out.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Yeah, so I like this. This will be her headshot that she signs her autographs with.
Nice.
So, like I said, I keep saying this every 6 months to a year. I got to use the fog machine more. I won't, but I should.
Yeah, no, same thing. I do like what you can do with it, and I do this in the yard, and then I think, yeah, like if I had a different model and I could do something really cool, and then it just goes back into the cupboard for a year. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, yeah. But it is, it, again, for what I picked that thing up for, I think it was like 30 or 40 bucks. It was one of those, you know, Canadian Tire, insert your own hardware mm-hmm. store in there wherever you are after Halloween, where they just kind of clear all those fog machines out. So look for one this year.
Your tip.
Yeah, look for one this year. Everyone who wants one. Yeah. Fun toy.
Good. That's a great tip. If you're honestly, if they do liquidate them after Halloween, if they're even stores are open, I have no clue what's going on. Definitely pick one up. These are a great thing to have. I love mine.
And I was looking just for some ideas. Like, so, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to get inspired. I'm going to look up on Google Images, you know, smoke machine photos. And anyway, so I kind of, one thing leads to another, obviously, when you kind of do a deep dive on Google for anything. And then I saw, you know, other little, like I saw micro foggers, yeah, which I thought were interesting. And again, to do cool fog machine or smoke effects. And then I saw also people doing some cool stuff with whatever they're called, vaping things, whatever those things are called, vape pens, what are they called? So people, you know, doing cool kind of blowing smoke. So, I mean, not that this is the only way. The big fog machine, you lack some of the portability. So that micro fogger idea might be a great little tool for a lot of, obviously you won't be able to produce the same amount of fog. Like we're using, like you could light up the big fog machine we have for a big area, but mm-hmm. it's you lose some of the control because it kind of goes everywhere, and the portability. So anyways, just thought it was interesting. It's not the only way to do this kind of photography.
Indeed. All right, topic for this week is community. I've mentioned it before. I think I probably mentioned it a few hundred times, but the hosers, the community of around the two hosers has kind of really been probably my biggest source of pride in terms of the podcast.
Oh, I was going to say in your life, you know, and
no,
including your children.
That's true. Yeah. It was a coin toss.
Yeah.
With the boy, obviously, the girl, forget it. But it was the goal, but that was the thing, is that it was, there's a number of goals, there's a number of reasons that we started the podcast so many years ago, almost 10 years ago coming up, and there's so many different reasons to do it, and what we wanted to achieve, etc. This sounds like a retirement speech, but it's not. No, it's definitely a source of pride, is that we, I feel like we have a pretty excellent group in our community, at least the people who post and cross post and talk to each other online, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So seeing the listeners, knowing that the listeners interact with one another is really fantastic. And that was the point. So a couple weeks ago, you know, it sounded like I issued an ultimatum about the monthly challenge. And really, I was trying to inspire people to participate for their own sake, not for the sake of our show. But that was the point of the monthly challenge. It's not so Adam and I can talk about your photos, which maybe that's, you know, I'm sure that's fine. But really, who made either one of us king of photography?
Right.
No, I'm actually asking
you. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know the guy's name.
Yeah, it's Mike down at the store. But that's one thing, you know, but it's really just two people's opinion. And so it's way more important that you hear from other photographers from all different backgrounds, which is what brings us to Mike's post on Instagram.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how to link to it, but it's
screenshot. Can you just screenshot it?
I could probably do a screenshot. He goes by Mike Roskop on Instagram. So if you're, you know, he submits to the monthly challenge pretty much every month. So definitely I check out his post. He posted on there and wrote a long comment long message about basically all the people that he goes and looks at all the submissions for the monthly challenge, and he follows other photographers and he knows their work, and he basically called it all out. Like, for example, you know, I get to see this from so-and-so and this from so-and-so, and I like all that. And that meant a lot to me.
And his point, I mean, really was, keep the photo challenge going, right? Because it's so great.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was, hey, nobody wants to see Eggs of Oku. Really?
Yeah, please. Please. Please, no, don't bring it back.
Please. Like, I people are, he's creating ghost accounts just to make sure there's enough submissions.
Right.
Again, the submissions aren't for us. They're for you anyways. So that was what I was getting at. So I think he absolutely nailed the sentiment behind the community. You know, like when you go to learn about photography, for example, and this really shaped how we decided to do our show from the very beginning. And believe it or not, you can totally believe it, Adam and I got a fair amount of criticism relatively early on from some listeners saying, hey, why do you mess around with all this, you know, baseball and et cetera talk and the family talk? Just get to the tips. Just tell us how to take pictures. And we decided, no, that's not really how this is going to work. Because technique is great. It's always nice to know different tips, you know, on different techniques on how to take pictures. But you can just Google that. Like, you don't need us to come and, you know, it's nice.
I can hear all of our listeners just like literally shutting off the podcast and going to Google right now.
Right. Cause they never, what is this Google? I've never heard, if you never heard of Google, how are you going to find out about Google?
Wait, I don't need to listen to this show?
Yeah. How do you, I entered Google into my Google search and my computer melted. So so you can go and find all these tips to know. Then once you know what you're looking for, like part of the point of part of the way photography or anything works is you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So you don't know what to look for. And once you know what to look for, then you can build on it and stuff like that. So it was never just about the technique. It was all about the experience and how it all ties in. Cause I mean, one of the things that we decided very early on was that we were not going to be brand specific, whether you shoot Canon, Nikon. Neither one of us really ever cared about getting into that stupid argument, for one. And we were not equipment gear specific. The idea was we want you to shoot this with whatever lens you have, not, oh, you need this $2,000 lens. I mean, this week you need your $40 smoke machine, but
yeah, that's true. Or microfogger.
Or a microfogger.
I just like saying microfogger. It just sounds cool.
You should try to work that into most conversations. You know, like just like throwaway line, like, yeah, this guy's riding like a microfogger. Yeah. What was this guy? Looks like he just dropped his microfogger. Huh? So I hope, and I think we do, I think one of the things that we bring to this whole experience is a certain personality, good or bad, which then hopefully attracts people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all ancestry, which is probably the most politically correct way to say diversity. But you have all these strangers from different walks of life, different backgrounds, etc., like I just said. And we definitely intersect in one small area, and that's like the photography part. But that is then a gateway into experiences and perspectives of essentially strangers, which is amazing. And the best part is it's photographically, so they can show you what they're living. They can show you their experience, and you'll see things that you didn't know you wanted to see.
Right.
So why is this important, Adam? On a sociological level first, before we get into photography, why is that important on a sociological level?
I'm not sure what you're looking for in a response.
Okay. I find it wildly important to broaden our own experience, our own horizons, and to sort of be a part of this collective human experience.
Wow, that's deep.
Even it's gonna get deeper.
Oh no.
Even
oh no.
Even yeah, you can tune up for a bit.
Okay. Go play
with your microfogger. Yeah. Which I think Jeffrey Toobin was doing, and now he's fired. too soon.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. That's a good shirt too. Go play with your microfogger. go microfog yourself.
Oh no. So, but being part of the collective experience, like the even for someone like myself, like who I would classify myself as a loner by choice, believe it or not. Like for example, I don't talk on the phone. I prefer going to when the movies were used to be open, I prefer going by myself. However, I still love the collective experience. Do you?
I need an example of what I would be collectively experiencing right now.
Well, the hockey, you watching your kid play hockey. Like, it's not just about watching your kid. You interact with the other people in that community.
Okay.
Kind, do you not?
Sort
or do you
of.
Are you the guy who yells and sits in the corner by himself and just yells at the
ref?
No,
I don't do that either. I'm usually somewhere in between. Like, I don't like to sit in the big group. I like, you know, mm-hmm. two or three people and kind of a smaller group.
Do you think the big group decided that?
No, I definitely decide that.
Yeah, sure. Same reason I'm not dating Margot Robbie.
I don't know. So, I just do. I like small. That's me. That's my personality.
Okay.
Like small groups. Yeah.
All right. And then, but certain groups and I get it. So, but for me, being part of something, or being for not just for me, I think for anybody, when you get to be a part of something, it allows you to add to that culture.
Okay.
And that's the healthy part. Like, that's the healthy part about what I really appreciate about our listeners and our community is that everybody seems to want to add and not subtract.
That's you know, impressive in itself.
Yeah. In this day and age,
yeah.
Definitely. But let me, far be it from me to solve the world's problems, but that is all multiculturalism is about. That's it. Nothing more. Like the idea of the melting pot, you don't scoop out of the melting pot, you add to it and it melts in there. It's really quite simple. And then you get the benefits of everybody else's input. That's what we're looking for here.
Right.
Yeah. So on a photography level, the community involvement, you adding and other people adding what they have, it affects how you shoot, what you shoot, how you learn new things, and then refine existing skills. Would you say that? Was that an accurate statement?
Yes, definitely.
Because how has it affected you talking to other people? For example, I mean, you used to have a client, and can you say, is that client confidentiality? But he used to run the photo workshops that you went to a couple
sure,
times.
Sure, Dwayne, yeah.
Right. And so, you talked photography with him, and
yeah.
we went and were exposed to a whole different side that you had never done before.
Yeah. And he did the workshops and I learned lots of things. And yeah, no, and I've met listeners and talked to about what they do. And it's just, again, it's ideas, but it also gives inspiration. And I think mm-hmm. it just, when people share with you their kind of photos, but also their experiences through those photos, then yeah, not only is it inspirational, but there's often a lot of like little tips and tricks to be gleaned from looking at what they did. So, I mean, oftentimes if I just look on the internet for inspiration, but I'd much rather it come from people I know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Otherwise, when it comes from people that you know and interact with, it seems like inspiration. But when you go online, it seems like stealing.
Yeah, I agree. It's different. There's definitely
or copying.
Yeah,
really.
And I look at if I see a listener, you know, who says that, you know, they used an idea that they heard about on the show or they saw in one of our images, then I
like a Hungarian comic book.
Yeah. Like that. I look at that as a compliment. Like, I mean, that's cool. Like that's cool. And someone says, oh yeah. And oftentimes they did a better job of it than we did.
Yeah,
then
that part I don't like so much.
I like that. Cause then I think, wow, like that's cool. It's not just like, you know, a total rookie who's using this. It's someone who's better than I am. And taking it to a different yeah. level. So that's super cool.
For sure. And I mean, when I first got started in the whole film industry, like 20 years ago, whatever it was, there was a lot of protectionism. Like, this is before the internet really became a thing. Like it existed, but it hadn't blown up into the way, you know, the way it is now. There was a lot of protecting of what you like, very defensive. People like, I can't tell you how I do that because I don't, you know, I'm competing with you.
Right.
Which is terrible. That is subtractive, mm-hmm. a subtractive community. And it is awful. But the good news is that person doesn't get any better. They do not improve because no one helps them. Like the more I have, quote unquote, taught, for lack of a better word, or shared more knowledge that I've shared, the more I have then built on that. I am a much better photographer strictly from sharing what I know, and then everything else that comes back because of that. It is completely worth it to basically, and I'll tell anybody who asks any questions. Some people think, oh no, you don't have to tell me, I understand. No, I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Like, I will hopefully make you as good as I am or better, which then makes me want to get better than you. How do you not win on that?
It's good. Yeah, it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to criticism, though, there's nothing quite like constructive criticism. And for me, I try to do this in my life, but I look at things in a yes and or a no but kind of frame. So they look at your picture and go, yeah, and if you did this, it'll be much better. Or maybe it won't be, maybe, you know, but here, have you thought about this? Or no, that didn't really work, but what about this? What if you tried from this angle? You know, again, I'm not always right. Sometimes it's incorrect, but that's the kind of constructive criticism I think we try to do every week.
Sure. And I think we're trying to do of our own stuff too. Like, I think we've been more than honest with ourselves and with each other when our stuff sucks. Like, universally sort of critical of our own crappiness. And that's the thing about photography is that, I don't know, you might have an idea, you might have an inspiration, but the execution isn't there. And I don't think that we ever profess to be good all the time. In fact, we're probably not good more often than we're good.
Sure. I agree. Like, turns out they'll give a podcast to pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
There's no test.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're good. So, but in general, when it comes to life or photography or critique or whatever it is, I discovered a long time ago, which, like, they should teach you this. They probably do. They probably teach in grade one, and I don't know, but never paid attention. I never criticize anything that I'm not willing to help fix.
Okay.
Like, if I don't have a potential solution, like, I'm not going to go, wow, this chicken tastes terrible.
Right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
You know, I would never do that anyways, but that's the general idea. So what I find is that here's the hard part is it's important that you are able to distinguish positive people from a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time on the internet, I think it's probably still out there. In fact, that's probably why the internet is still a thing. It's more of the a-holes than the positive people. Especially in these I haven't been on bulletin board sites in like 8 years probably, or 10 years, but it used to be like the Wild West for photographers. Like, a lot of passive aggressive, a lot of negative, like just a lot of nonsense to the point that you didn't want to be part of that. You didn't want to contribute to that community. You wanted to get away from that or argue with people. And nobody was winning. Somehow, and Adam, I need you to explain this to me in 30 minutes or less. The people who submit to our community do not behave like that.
No, it's amazing. So that's...
But why?
I don't know. I think it's,
I don't know either.
It's just good. We've managed to procure a good community of people who are overwhelmingly positive with one another. Not always with us, because we're you know, a little bit of we're goofballs sometimes. And sometimes we do try to get a rise out of people. And yeah, that's fine. Like, it's different. It's all in the name of hopefully making it entertaining and interesting. But yes, so much positive support for amongst listeners to each other, which is tremendous. Like, it's great.
Yeah. That's the goal. So, that's it.
Okay.
The community. I probably had more notes. I think I have more notes, but I am just repeating myself.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like it's, my point is I very much appreciate the community. The photo challenge will go on. You know, I guess, you know, after we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, there was a few people wrote and just said, hey, just like yourselves, you know, we're not super motivated to shoot right now.
Yeah.
Like it's a very, very strange time. And so we get it. So we're not going to make it go away. We're going to keep it for everybody. We just encourage everybody to participate, you know, no matter what kind of photos you take, come be part of it. That's what we want.
Okay.
They always say like that line from Rounders, if you don't spot the sucker in the first 20 minutes, you are the sucker.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't see any a-holes.
Right.
Does that make you? I'm assuming it's you.
Yeah. I feel like it's more you, but yeah.
Standard from you. So there you go. All right. Challenge next week. It's going to be Halloween. That's the challenge for next. It's a weekly one because Adam and I will record before the deadline. It'll come out in November, but I know a lot of people like to submit it at midnight on the 31st of Halloween there. And so we don't want to cut it off too early.
So sorry, say that again.
Next week's challenge is for you and I. It's a weekly challenge, and that's going to be Halloween.
Okay.
Pretty much laying it right into what's going to happen this week. The Halloween stuff. Although I guess technically, but
it wouldn't actually. Yeah, it wouldn't actually happen until Saturday. Would be the big.
But Halloween stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, do you have an alternative? How about Smoke Machine again?
Okay, Smoke Machine Part 2.
How about Things I Can See from My Couch?
Yeah, let's do that one. I like that one.
Things I Can See from My Couch?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, Halloween.
We'll do Halloween. It'll be a Halloween theme.
All right.
All right. All right, and monthly challenge for the following week for October is surprise me and hashtag that Two Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, both of those, and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram and we'll check that out. Websites, Adam, no one can go see your stuff, can they?
No one go see anything.
At some point, adamschwartz.ca will be up, but
no,
not now.
Probably not.
You can find my stuff from 2010 at alanatridge.com, or the two of us from now at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.